Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the BYGP Locker Room Show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and I am so excited for tonight's show. As always, we are bringing in coaches, players, business professionals that are solely focused on helping young aspiring football players, their parents, just help them get to the next level, help them truly know the business of football, and really enjoy themselves along the way. So tonight's show is definitely in line with what we practice and preach. Tonight's show is especially special to me because this young man on the line I've had a chance to work with. This is somebody that is within the BYGP family, and he has made us proud. He's somebody that started as a football player but has morphed into an NFL strength and conditioning coach. His name is Dustin Woods, and I believe we already have him on the line. Dustin, are you with us tonight?
Yes, sir. How we doing, Coach Wood?
We are great, man, and we really, truly appreciate you coming into the locker room tonight and sharing your advice, your expertise, and I know things are busy for you in L.A., but thank you for the time.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I'm just thankful that you even asked me to be on the show. I love what you do, totally love it, and I think it's very valuable, man. So anything I can be a part of this, I always make the time for, so thank you.
I appreciate it, man, and I know you're watching the little ones tonight, so let's get right into it. We don't want to keep you too long. I know how that goes. So for those that don't know you, can you tell us where you're originally from?
Yeah, originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, born and raised.
And you went to the University of Miami of Ohio, and you had a great career up there. How did you find out about the recruiting process when you were in high school?
Oh, man, so it was totally different than it is nowadays. I kind of fell in just by the wayside. I actually was a baseball player, basketball player, played both of those varsity sports very early. Didn't even start playing football till I was a junior in high school, for the most part. And, you know, I actually did a little free camp through the school down at UK and ran a 40 down there and did some other drills. And this was just a free camp. And the next week I had a offer in the mail from University of Kentucky, big SEC school. And while they weren't great at the time for somebody who hadn't even really played a football game in high school yet, a varsity football game, that was my first scholarship offer. And then from then on, that's pretty much how I heard about the recruiting process. After that, then the scholarships kind of started flooding in from there, and then just had to make a wise choice and stay healthy my senior year and just kind of go from there. But that's how I learned about the recruiting process. I was very naive, and nobody in my family ever been through it. So didn't really have anybody at that time walking me through the process or telling me what to expect or really even how to make a decision on it. So,
wow, that's an amazing story. And obviously you chose the right sport for you because it's paying dividends for you and your family. Once you chose to go to Miami of Ohio, did you feel like there was a learning curve there, or did you step in and it was pretty much an easy transition?
Oh, man, there was a learning curve, a huge learning curve, because instead of being so physical, I was very physically gifted with speed. And when I say speed, straight ahead speed, and I can be honest with myself now because I used to think I had it all, but I had definitely good straight head of speed, straightforward linear speed. I could run a 4.3 like it was nothing. Sometimes I even tipped the clock at a 4.2, but I didn't have a lot of quickness. I had speed, but quickness, so I had to learn how to use my speed and had to learn how to get a little bit quicker. Quickness is a necessity, and I know that now, coming in and out of routes. And then not only that, but just mentally, the biggest thing was mentally understanding concept, understanding schemes, just understanding the route tree and why we do it the way we do it, knowing what the other receivers or running backs are doing on the field as well. And that was just all new to me. So I had to have a couple people take me up under their wing when it came to that, because I was definitely clueless. And it was actually one of the reasons I decided I even ended up at Miami, was because I got most of my offers as a defensive back, which I didn't really play that much in high school. I got all my accolades as a receiver, but because of the fear of not understanding even what defenses were, what a cover three, cover two, I had no clue. So that actually pushed me into a position that may or may not have been the best school for me, but that's where I ended up, and it ended up great for me. But mentally, I just was not there. So I had to have a few people take me up under my wing to show me those kind of things.
I appreciate you sharing that with us, because there may be a young man listening tonight that, you know, needs some extra support as far as really learning the ins and outs of their position. So I appreciate you sharing that, you know, that was a little bit of a tough road for you. Obviously, you went on to have a great career at Miami of Ohio. I was fortunate enough to know your position coach, Coach Cedric Cormier. And shouts out to him. He's coaching at UNLV now. But we were introduced through him, I believe it was your senior year, 2009. It's crazy to me, Dustin, how fast time flies with it being almost 10 years now. But I feel like I'm getting old here. But, had the opportunity to get in contact with you because Coach Cormier felt like you were not giving it your all once you had moved down on the depth chart, and he felt good. He loved you enough to try to reach out to somebody else, which happened to be me, and say, can you feed into this young man? Because I see so much potential for him. And can you talk to our audience right now, those young men that are in the middle of the fight, Dustin, about how they need to proceed if things aren't breaking their way? They may have talent, but for whatever reason, things aren't breaking their way right now. How would you have proceeded if you were still in the game right now?
For sure. That's a great question. I appreciate you asking that question, because that's kind of been the story of my life. And really what happened was I went to Miami, and like you said, I did have a great career. My freshman year was probably my greatest season. And every year I'd come down with a shoulder injury. I had three shoulder surgeries and a knee surgery, and I would sit out of spring ball. But the next year around, I would be right back at the number one receiving spot. And that continued to happen my freshman year, my sophomore year, my junior year, until my senior year, we got a new coach. And Coach Cormier also came in, got a new coach. I go down once again in camp with a hamstring. And things are just a little bit different this time, because now I'm not back. When I do come back, I'm not really necessarily looked at as a number one receiver. We had some talented guys on the team, but I was kind of used to always being put right back into that position. So I hit adversity. So I definitely, that adversity, I didn't really understand how to deal with it. I understand how to deal with some adversity, but this was totally new to me, to not, quote unquote, be seen as the best player at that time. So I was pretty down in the dumps, and Coach Cormier, I feel like he saw something in me, whether it was as a person or as an athlete. And more so, I think he saw it as a person, and he wanted to be able to tap into that. I'm very grateful that he took the time to do that, because not a lot of people would do that. If there's any coaches listening, I mean, I'll be the first to say, never pass on an opportunity to pick a kid's head up or do what you did for me, because it can make a heck of a difference in somebody's life, not just a moment, but a life. And that's exactly what Coach Cormier did with me when he put us in contact, because you, in return, gave me just a lot of confidence and a lot of encouragement, not just to be a better ball player and what to expect if I did make it to the next level, but what would happen if I didn't make it to the next level and the ins and out of the business of football. And sometimes if it's just not your role, if that's not what the Lord has in store for you, you got to find a different way, and you got to find a way to pretty much kick in the back door some way or the other. And that was vital to me just because I had a great father in my life, had great brothers in my life, and they've always been involved with everything that I do. But nobody has been through that situation, and you were through that situation. So for Coach Cormier to kind of see that and to reach out to you, and then for you to take the initiative to go ahead and continue that conversation, and those conversations we had were vital, because I very well could not have been where I am now.
No, I'm not going to. Dude, I'm not going to take that much credit, and I know Coach Cormier won't either, because you were an eager student, and you had such potential in anything you wanted to go into. Dude, you could have been a lawyer if you wanted to be. So, you know, with you, it was all about seeing the bigger picture, and really for the athletes listening, I hope that you guys take heed to Dustin's story. He was so special and easy to transition because he always knew that there was a bigger picture for himself. He knew that he had talent even outside of football. And with you, man, you quickly moved into becoming a coach, whether it was speed stuff, whether it was strength and conditioning. Can you talk to us about what inspired you to become a coach?
Oh, yeah. So right away, after I hung up the cleats, one of the things was I made a huge life decision, very mature decision, to marry the love of my life of 8 years going through high school and college while I still had a year in college. So I was in a position where I couldn't continue to chase a dream and do right by her. I had a brother.
Yeah.
I had a brother who was a personal trainer as well. I had his own gym. And that was just kind of, you know, he taught me the ins and outs of doing that. And I trained a few guys even while I was in college. So it was just a natural fit for me. And once I found a place called Ignition to take me in a part-time job, they then hired me very shortly after that, just a couple months, to be a part of their NFL combine training to train other athletes to do what I finished doing for the pro day and for the combine. And just kind of a very natural fit in for me. My father was a coach. I was mentoring young kids even in college at that time. So the mentoring and the coaching and my love for just even really just the weight room, you know what I mean? Even if it was just kind of an aesthetics thing, you know, how I look, I loved the weight room and I did enjoy it. So it was just a natural fit for me. But more importantly, I loved the fact of mentoring young kids who are athletes, just because that's what I grew up doing, and I had the right people in my life to kind of guide me along that path as well.
And obviously attractive people get opportunity, and you morphed into an opportunity, which was amazing when I first heard about it, to coach the speed skating team for Chinese Olympics. And how much, when you were presented with that opportunity, Dustin, was that an easy yes, or was that something that was hard for you to say yes to?
You know what? It was not. I'm not gonna say it was an easy yes. And again, you know, my life always revolves around my faith. That's kind of always what kept me on top of everything and any adversity that I hit. I've always had a greater perspective when it comes to life, just because my faith and what that means to me. So on one hand, it was an easy yes because of the decision me and my wife made of pretty much praying over the decision that the Chinese team made, that if they said, hey, we want you to come, you know, we felt truly led that if they say that and they offer that, hey, no matter what kind of fear we have, we're going to go ahead and take that leap of faith. Was it an easy thing to do? It was not an easy thing to do. There's probably my top three or four hardest things to do was to leave my family, my friends, and everything that I know to go to a culture that I have no idea about. So it was not easy. It was probably one of the few times I've seen my dad cry when there wasn't something, you know, tragic going on. It was just that fear of, you know, the unknown. So it wasn't easy, but on the other hand, it was, because we knew that we were going to be taken care of in the long run. you know, we just had that faith and that trust, and, you know, me and my wife kind of made that decision together, and it wasn't easy, you know, easy, yes, but then again, not really. It was bittersweet, too.
Huge move, and it paid off for you guys, and I know you grew a lot from that, too. We're about halfway through, and for those that are just joining us, we are in the BYGP locker room. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, with the great Dustin Woods, a BYGP family member. This is a young man that had a great career at the University of Miami of Ohio as a wide receiver, had pro potential, but as he said, you know, things don't always fall in line, but he was able to transition you guys smoothly. I know there was a lot of fight behind closed doors and behind the scenes, but from the outside looking in, transitioned very smoothly into a nice coaching career as a strength and conditioning coach. Talk to us about relationships. Some of these young men are in high school. They're in junior college. You know, some of them just got on that college campus, maybe to your old school, University of Miami of Ohio. Talk to them about really fostering relationships in the football industry and why that's important.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, relationships have proved to me to be one of the key, if not the most key things in career building and opportunity. And I say that because every step that I've taken outside of football, even inside of football, has been because of a relationship. Not just fast-forwarding past football. The reason I even got onto my first job at Ignition was because of a relationship that I built while I was at Miami, the guy who introduced me to Ignition. The way that I got to China was because of a relationship that I had at Ignition, and not just the relationship that I had, but what I've proven to them as far as my character, who I am as a person first, and then my quality as a coach. The way that I then got out of China and came back to Xavier for a little bit for 2 years was through another relationship. That's how that happened. And the way that I ultimately ended up where I am now is reverse all the way back to Miami to Sean McVay, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, a relationship that I had, and it's a very small relationship that I had with Sean that allowed me to even get a foot in the door or a phone call to see if I was interested to join the Los Angeles Rams. And that, again, if I can emphasize anything, it's not about relationships or just the amount of people that you know. I got 20,000 followers or this or that. Quality relationships where the people can see who you are as a quality person. They can gauge your character of who you are, and you take opportunity of all those relationships and capitalize on them, because it was not just because I knew a bunch of people. It's because I took keen on being a good person throughout my entire life. As good as I could be, we always have our flaws. But to capitalize on the relationships that you have and put yourself around good people that are going in the right direction. Don't spend time on fools. Go with the crowd that's going in the right direction. And that's really how I got to where I am. And I'm very blessed that I can say that and have that story, because it's the epitome of how important relationships are.
Amazing. I couldn't have said it better. You know, I hope you young athletes are really taking hold of what Dustin just elaborated on right there. He is a master, you guys, at relationships. He's charismatic. He's handsome. He loves people. He's sincere, you know. So it's putty in his hands, and he really does good. And once again, he's a great coach, too. So good illustration right there. Now, you've been able to get into the NFL, not as a player, but as a coach, which is, some would argue, better, the better route to go. You got a chance to recently experience the Super Bowl, literally on the sideline, pretty much in the game. Can you illustrate for our audience what that experience was like?
Oh, man, it's it's hard for me to explain because, you know, I
probably
was
hard.
I was very fortunate that my first year as a true NFL coach, I ended up at the Super Bowl. And while that was very surreal, you understand the impact of that game has on a lot of the guys on the football team who have been playing football for years and even in the NFL for 8-9 years and never reached that point. And to see how important that was, and somebody put it the best, a kid that I love on the team, his name is Brandon Cooks, number 12 on our team receiver, and he's been to a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and he said, guys, this is a life-changing game, and it's exactly what it is, not just because of the bonus money that you get, things like that, but it's a life-changing game for your career. A lot of guys play a long time and don't even get to it, so just to see, you know, what goes into that game and the decisions that we have to make and, you know, it's just an unbelievable experience. It's just like it's the biggest stage of all, like literally the biggest stage of all. So it's hard to even put into words. It was just surreal. The only thing that would have even made it better is if we could have came out with a win. But the experience as a whole was just unbelievable. It's right there next to the Olympics. The Olympics was awesome too. I got to experience two of those. But this just being back in the States and something I grew up watching, just to be a part of it was a major blessing.
I forgot about the Olympics, you know. So, yeah, you've had a whirlwind of amazing opportunities and events that you've witnessed. So that's
for
huge.
Sure.
Talk to us a little bit about leverage. Do you think that football gives young athletes leverage to get bigger opportunities in life or to meet certain people that can assist them?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. If you can use your physical talents to just get you into school, doesn't matter what level, and then you take advantage of being in school, because not just in school, it's not just the education you're getting. It's the environment that you're putting yourself in. It's the opportunities to network, to build relationships, to eventually end up where you want to be in life, whether it's knocking down a back door, but it just expands your entire mind. And I think, you know, me and my wife always talk about what, you know, what our kids are going to do in the future or whatever. And she knows that I want them to play sports, and she knows I want them to go to college and play sports. But that's just because of the way I see how one of the best ways to get into college, and that's it. I'm not looking for my kids to be pros. But the advantage that you have in the world when you can get into an environment as an athlete, and I say as an athlete because as an athlete and in college especially, you learn certain characteristics, you learn certain things like time management, you learn how to be disciplined, you know, all these really, really important values that carry over to life that just give you an advantage over people who didn't have to work on teamwork, didn't have to be on time, didn't have to learn how to not procrastinate. All those different things are life lessons. It's field value, and that's one of the things too, is sometimes I feel like I didn't learn the most in school. I learned once I got out and I started learning and doing those types of things. So when you put yourself in an environment where you can start stepping out of your own environment, your own comfort zone, it's very valuable, very valuable. So being able to work your way as hard as you can to play ball, whether it's football, soccer, whatever, to get into college, it's a great motivator for life. Even if you don't reach what you want to reach, it's about the journey, not the, you know, it's about where you finish in the journey. So that's really important.
I love it. I love it right there. That's some good fruit for you guys to take hold of. And I really hope you guys listening really, really take hold of what Dustin's saying. You know, it's a process and there's a lot there. You have to leverage everything. So a couple more questions for you, man, and we're going to let you go. And once again, really appreciate the time tonight, Dustin. Talk to us a little bit about what your off season looks like or what the off season looks like for the players.
For sure. Yeah. So right now we're in our downtime. We still have about 10 guys coming in, and we have injured reserve guys that's mandatory who got surgery right after the season to come in and do their training, and they're bridging the gap between rehab and being in the weight room. So starting April 15th, though, and we got a late start because we were in the Super Bowl. Starting April 15th, we'll start, you know, the off-season program where we'll go through everything, and they'll be just kind of training with the strength coaches at first, and then 2 weeks after that, we add some football skills with the coaches and things like that, and just kind of carry that on until we have their summer break for a month, and then we come back and do training camp right after that. So about a span of 3 months there, we'll kind of be putting in work and things like that. But one of the interesting things that's been going on for me is that we have NFL draft prospects coming in for interviews. And one piece of that is always coming in to see the performance staff, which includes strength and conditioning. And I've been dealing with those interviews. And I think it's one thing that it's really important for some of these kids to understand now, too, is these are top 30 picks coming in to do some interviews. And there was a comment made to me that, hey, a lot of these guys we won't even see. A lot of these guys won't even make a team. And that just puts things in perspective of how elite you have to be, not only physically, but mentally, taking care of yourself and your body, making proper decisions so that you don't get in trouble before you can even get to that point. Just what it takes to be an elite athlete. It takes a lot of hard work, takes a little bit of luck. But for the most part, man, if you can dig in and hone in on your values and your character and work hard to be disciplined and do all those little detailed things right, you'll have an opportunity. But the purpose of me saying it is it's a difficult task to get to where everybody wants to be, and that's the NFL. And interviewing these kids has brought that to light for me, and just kind of going through a camp where there's cuts and there's kids that were the best on, you know, best wide receiver on USC's team or the best tight end here at, you know, at University of Cincinnati or Ohio State, and they're not quite making the cut. It just takes a lot, you know, so you got to work hard. You can't take any day for granted, you know.
Priceless feedback right there and advice, and that really illustrates how hard it is, you guys listening. I'm lying. I'm going to give you two more questions real quick.
Kids are acting good. The kids are acting good. So if we got to do overtime, we wouldn't go overtime.
There you go. So, hey, I want to give a little story for the kids listening. Give us a good story of somebody that that you saw working their tail off when nobody was watching, or come into the facility early or stay late. Is there a story that kind of stands out in your mind from this past season of somebody's work ethic standing out?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, actually, now you tell me this. Does it need to be a football player?
No, not at all.
Okay, this is a very interesting story. So before I even got to the Rams, there was a young man named Fernando Noriega, and he was an intern for the L.A. Rams as in the strength and conditioning department. And so there was a new staff that came in the first year when they first got here back in, I guess, 2016. They got a new staff 2017. They retained him as a intern. And he was a hard worker. He worked his tail off. He was the first one there in the morning, last one out, and he did everything he was asked and went above and beyond. And in 2017, they brought him into the team meeting room, and in front of all the guys on the football team, they gave him a full-time position as a strength and conditioning coach. And this guy, he played maybe Division III football. He played Division III football, I forget what it's called, but it's in Spokane, Washington. And he worked his way. He worked his butt off. Smart kid, but did everything right. Did all the small things right. And as an intern, and this is a difficult thing to do in our field, is to be retained, number one, within two different strength coaching changes, and then to be given a full-time position as an assistant strength and conditioning coach. And right now, he is my coworker, who sits right next to me in that position, and he worked himself from, and he's the youngest guy on our staff. I think he just turned 28, and he worked his way up, you know, played Division III college ball. He even had a kid when he was 18 years old, stayed determined, stayed focused, did everything right, did right by his kids, by his kid, and then worked hard. And now he's got a full-time job with a great team. And that story to me resonates, and we've seen the same with a couple of athletes too, but I think that one, you know, for the sake of what we're talking about, is huge, because we hear about athletes doing it all the time, but sometimes you got to kick down the back door, and he did it in an amazing way. He didn't have the connections that I had or the relationships, but his hard work, determination, his discipline, it really turned into something good for him.
Great story right there, and we'll leave you with this one. And once again, man, appreciate the time so much, because I know you're up early in the morning getting after it. But we'll leave you with this one. you know, we're in the second semester for some of these kids in high school, junior college. They're getting ready to go off to college, and it's a new chapter. If you could take yourself back, Dustin, to you've signed the letter of intent. You're done with that. You're the man at your high school. Now it's time to be a man, go off and go to the University of Miami of Ohio. What would you tell yourself today after all you've been through, the years at Miami of Ohio, the Olympics, the Super Bowl? If you were back to being 18, what would you tell yourself today?
That's a great question. Great question. I think what I would tell myself is, first of all, one of the things I would tell myself is write a mission statement and stick to it, to your core values and your foundation. But I would tell myself that's something that I definitely do, and that's one of the things I always tell the guys coming in for the NFL interviews, the draft interviews. But one major thing is I spent so much time worrying about the things that I could not control and not worrying enough about the things that I could control. So if I could work harder at the things that I could control and not let the things that I couldn't control wave my mind or worry me, I think in the long run, understanding that everything will work out, I could have maybe done a lot more. I could have made more connections. I could have been a better ball player. I could have been healthier. There could have been a lot of things, but the worry, the doubt, the disappointment, and some of the things that I simply could not control, it did nothing for me. So really control the things that you can, attack them hard. Don't let anything else weigh you if you can't control it. Move on, move forward, and always be a kind person. Hold true to who you are, and main thing, always trust God. That's my deal there. So, but yeah.
4-star right there, man. 4-star feedback and advice for these young men and their families. You know, I love you to death. I appreciate you, dude. Keep doing what you're doing.
Love you too. I appreciate it. And you keep doing it too, man. You're doing something that's far greater, you know, than what a football could do. So you're impacting young men and even young women. So I appreciate what you do. Thank you for letting me be a part of it.
No doubt. And we'll be out in L.A. soon. I'll definitely hit you up. And hopefully, if you're not too busy, grab you for some lunch or coffee.
Yep, sounds good. I'm going to hold you to it.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. All right, so hey, that is Dustin Woods. And once again, this is a young man that I've known since he was in college, you guys, when he was fighting, just like many of you guys, for that NFL opportunity, for that shot. He figured out things quick. He was able to transition into the world of strength and conditioning, and he is a rising star. You know, it's not going to be long till he's ahead. Strength and conditioning coach, whether it's in the NFL or college, the world is his oyster. He's been to the Olympics. So proud of Dustin Woods and what he has been able to create for himself and for his family. And just a real good presentation and illustration, you guys, of how you can leverage relationships for the jackpot. You know, he knew Sean McVay from college. He's met his wife in college. He told you that his first strength and conditioning opportunity was from a relationship he knew. The Olympic opportunity was from a relationship that he already had. So what type of relationships do you have? What type of seeds do you plan on planting tomorrow? You know, and that's what the Locker Room Show is all about. So hopefully you guys got some fruit from tonight's episode. Hopefully you pass this along. There is no agenda. We just want to provide education so you guys know the business of the sport you are in and so that you can thrive. So once again, I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for the BYGP team, and we hope that you have a wonderful evening. We will see you at the top.